following is an interview by Patrick Huber with Kay Faulkner at the Hall River Municipal Park in Hall River, North Carolina, on July 1st, 1995. This interview is being conducted for the Southern Oral History Program and is part of its Oral History of the White Furniture Company of Mebane project. So I thought we'd start the interview today, Kay, by having you tell us when and where you were born and a little bit about what your folks did for a living and any brothers and sisters if you had them.
Okay. I was born here in Alamance County many years ago.
Uh-huh.
I have two brothers, and my parents were both basically textile workers.
Mm-hmm. Where did they work at?
My father worked up until the last 10 years, I guess. Well, I've forgotten the name of the company because it happened back when the textile, everything in textile started closing down. Mm-hmm. In North Carolina. He had been in textiles just about practically all of his working life, so he had to do a change and started working with A.O. Smith. So it was out of textiles into motor parts. And my mother, until she became disabled, she did hosiery-type work with companies.
So you were born in or near Hall River?
At Burlington.
Burlington,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it that you came to work at White's?
My aunt, which is Sue Isley, called me and told me there was an opening. And I was in the middle of a job at the moment, so I went and applied, and after three interviews, I was hired.
And who did you speak to there when you went?
Donna Wilson and Mike. I've forgotten his last name. He was the controller over Hickory White at Mebane. Uh-huh. At the time.
And he's the one that hired you?
Mm-hmm.
Where had you been working?
I was working with a temporary agency at the time. And I was just between jobs looking for a full-time job. Mm-hmm. When they called. I had been mostly mill work up until then and had started just branching out into secretarial fields.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what your first day was like there?
First few weeks, I remember.
Huh.
very tense. A whole lot going on. Very active. It was very frustrating. If it hadn't been for a few of the people, I don't know if I would have lasted 6 months. But it turned out to be a pretty good company considering the people that I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the people I worked for was great. I love those people at White. It was like a family atmosphere, really.
Uh-huh. What was frustrating about the job?
I was just starting out in clerical work, so it was very frustrating when you... Well, okay, you said I could be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
My boss was a perfectionist. So when you made that mistake, that's what made it very frustrating. She was just constantly on your back, which when I look at it now, she had every right to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand that at the time, so.
So she would come down hard on you if something wasn't done to her?
Yeah, if it wasn't done to her specifications, it had to be redone and redone and redone. And she was like that the whole time I was there. And she's a perfectionist, so, you know, you get that from people that are... I'm not a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
I think life should be enjoyed. I don't think you should worry about minor details, but she was one to worry about minor details. She
uh-huh.
was an accountant.
Oh, I see.
So you get down to the penny or half penny when you're in that position.
They like that, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So Could you describe a little bit about like what your job was there, what you did?
I started out as receptionist, accounts payable clerk, and I ended up assistant purchasing, working with Fletcher Homes. So that's basically it. I paid the bills and ended up purchasing the parts.
When did you start there?
In 87, August of 87.
August of 87. And then when did you start working directly for?
For Fletcher.
Working for Fletcher. And
about a year and a half later.
And how was that?
I loved Fletcher. When I switched to Fletcher, it was like a big relief because he's so easygoing. He was real easygoing. And, you know, you did your job, and that's all you were supposed to do. As far as Fletcher was concerned, we got it done, and that's, you know, that was good.
So you went from working for this perfectionist working to working for Fletcher. I see.
I don't know if you've talked to him or not.
I think that we've tried to. I don't think that he wanted to do an interview for
whatever reason. Yeah, he's a good man. He really was a good boss, too.
So you mentioned earlier that you didn't think that you would have lasted 6 months if it hadn't been for the people there. What sort of things did they do that helped to ease you into the job?
Just coming by and giving you a pat on the back. Now, these were people out in the plant or people that did not work for this person. You know, they would say, just hang in there. And that's what got you through the day. A lot of times.
What were some of the names of the other people who worked there in the office when you were there?
Ellen Bowman. She worked closely with me. The two of us were in the same office. Cindy Cook, which she lasted when they moved the corporate office to High Point, she was still there. And that was basically the office, except for Janet and, I say, there was Debbie Culberson that worked there until about a year before they closed down. Then there was Patricia. I've forgotten her last name, too. And Sue and Shirley. Millie and Becky worked upstairs in sales and marketing until they all switched to corporate office.
What sort of relationship did you have with those people who worked in the office?
Basically a pretty good one. I think Ellen and I were more alike. You know, the rest of them were there when Mr. White came. So Ellen and I were really the only two that were hired after the fact. Except for there was one other girl. And I can't, Carol, but I can't remember what her last name was. And that was basically it. People that got in at White stayed there for a long time up until Hickory took over, from what I understood.
And do you know why that was?
Not really, except for maybe the fact that Mr. White did treat them better. I don't know. Margaret, I think, made the comment one time that Mr. White chose. It was like he handpicked. He did a very thorough background check on anyone that came in, and I think that Hickory was maybe not quite as handpicking as Mr. White was. That might have made the difference.
Did some of the older office workers who had been there under White's, did they say something to that effect to you?
Not really. You know, Becky, Millie, and Shirley, they're all about the same age, and they had been there forever. And my Aunt Sue, she came straight out of business college into Mr. White's. And that just seemed like that was the way it was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the older office hands that had been there retired with White. It just seemed like it was a common thing. But that might be, too, because times are changing so much also. You don't see people staying with companies until retirement. It might have been the way the times were.
Did the older office help who had worked under White's, did they make comparisons between working for Mr. White and working for Hickory?
Yeah. They didn't talk a whole lot about it, but, you know, because, you know, you think whenever another company steps in like that, I think you have job security problems also.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they went in and they... Now, I wasn't here when this went on either, so I might be talking about something I don't really know about. But from what I understood, they did a lot of cleaning up when Hickory White took over.
Cleaning up meaning?
Getting rid of a lot of personnel that had been there for a long time.
You mean in the office and
in well, basically out in the plant, supervisors and... Yeah, and in the office, come to think about it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that left a bad impression on some of the ones who made the cuts.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And, you know, I think there was a lot of what I understood was Hickory made a lot of promises that they didn't keep to begin with.
Uh-huh. Do you have any, an example of that?
Not really. And like I say, you know, I'm just repeating what I've heard. I don't know for fact. So I don't, you know, I'd be a bad person to quote on that, I think.
What did you think about Hickory? About the company? How were you treated?
I was treated fine.
Mm-hmm.
I was treated fine. I had a problem with, and I know this didn't have it. This was none of my business or anything, but I thought it was lousy that they gave the supervisors a bonus at Christmas or whenever, and the people that really did the work didn't. You know, the people out in the plant did not get a bonus. Which, from what I understood, Mr. White got a bonus. And I thought that was a lousy deal.
Hmm.
You know, because some of the supervisors... Well, there were a few of the supervisors that did share their bonus with their employees.
When was that going on?
That was during the whole time that I was there. I know that the supervisors once a year got a big bonus. Now, I don't know whether it was at Christmas, but it seems like it was probably sometime after Christmas they got a bonus. If things were going good, they got a good, hefty bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was one, maybe two, that shared their bonus with their employees.
Do you know who they were?
Not offhand. I can't remember. But I thought that was very nice that they did that, considering they were the ones that did the work.
Mm-hmm. Did the office staff get bonuses?
No. Just the supervisors.
From the time that you came there to the end, you never?
Mm-mm. I never got a bonus. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, I wasn't saying that because I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, if you could go out there in that plant... Even on a day like today, and today's a nice day, and sweat was rolling off of those people, and they were standing there working. And I remember days that it was 100 degrees outside in the shade, and they were out there working, which they made allowances for it, come in early and get off early on days like that. I remember them doing that. I think things kind of improved a little bit when Robin Hart took over as president of the Mebane plant.
From Richard Hinkle?
Yeah. But, and from what I understand, a lot of people respected Richard. And Richard did make the company grow.
Mm-hmm. What sort of improvements did you see when Robin Hart
Human.
Took over?
Human-wise, you know, I think that's what it is. I hadn't even thought about this until you started. But I think human-wise, Robin Hart was a more human, more people person than Richard was, where Richard was a driving, you know, let's get it done type person. Mm-hmm.
Was Robin Hart then, you think, was, like, friendlier, or...?
Mm-hmm. He was just more down-to-earth, more able to get his point across with the people.
Mm-hmm.
More likable. He was just more human.
Did that have a big effect on, like, the way that you did your work, or the way that the office, the atmosphere in the office?
No. Richard never bothered any of us, either. Mm-hmm. It was just that, you know... Richard would come in, and you wouldn't even hardly know he was there because he was busy giving his orders somewhere else, where Robin Hart would come in and sit down and talk to you and ask how you and your family were doing or whatever. I mean, it's just the basics of personality differences.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where he came from?
At Robin?
Yeah.
He came from, if I'm not mistaken, a plant in Tennessee. And I have forgotten the name of it. Silver something. Don McCall's probably told you. Because Bill, I know Bill interviewed
mm-hmm.
him.
He did. Do you know what time that Robin Hart came in?
Was it the last 2 years? Not really. I can't remember.
But you think it was sometime in the 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
What was he like as a person?
Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Like a granddaddy.
But was he that old?
Basically. He was probably in his late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like everybody's daddy or granddaddy.
Uh-huh.
That type of person.
And Richard Hinkle, what was he like?
Very business.
Uh-huh.
Very, you know, just the exact opposite of what Robin was.
Hmm.
It's like the difference of, I think, of Richard as Mr. Hinkle and Robin as Robin, you know.
Uh-huh.
No Mr. Hart behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You felt very comfortable calling him by his first name. Or I did, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Did people seem to get along with both of those men?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people that didn't think he knew as much about what he was doing as Richard did, because Richard was just one of those to push you to get you going.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even some that think that he might have been placed there to bring the place down anyway. You know, he was bought in just for that purpose. And he could have been, who knows what goes on at corporate and above.
Those were rumors or speculation that came up after the plant closed, or where?
Well, the last 2 years, once they bought Robin in, a lot of people speculated from that moment on of what White's future was going to be. And a lot of people that had come there from other plants that had been through shutdowns and stuff just kept comparing, this place is going to go. And that's the way it was for the last 2 years, I know, of being there. Because if you look back now, all the signs were there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the talk was there. It was just nobody ever said anything until that last 60, 90 days or whatever, you know.
So, in the last 2 years, are you talking about supervisors who had come in, who had been at plants that had been closed down?
Yeah. supervisors, also some of the men out on the floor. So, you know, you can look back and tell.
Yeah, what did you think of the speculations of the rumors? Did you have an
opinion? I thought the same thing, too. I don't know why. They started paying their bills late. But from what I understand, Hickory has always done that. But still, you know, White had the reputation of paying their bills ahead of time. You know, if they didn't pay them on time, they paid them ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That was White's way of doing things. And whenever they switched from White's way of doing things to Hickory's way, you know, it kind of makes you think. There was a lot of, well, they did spend a lot of money there toward the end. Renovation type things. Brand new set of kilns sitting out there. That type of thing. That makes you think. You know, you got to improve these to make this place sellable, even though it didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any other signs or something that might have that started rumors?
I don't know whether out in the plant they got any word from Hickory or not. That, you know, that might have started some of the rumors. When I'd go out in the plant for some reason or another, one of the guys or somebody would stop me and say they'd heard.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing ever definite. I think the bills being paid was the only thing that made me question whether or not we were going to be there for a while. But I went ahead and bought my car anyway, so evidently I didn't think it was too sure of a deal.
were there, I guess, older office staff who were there under White's that told you that that's the way that White's had always paid their bills ahead of time?
Yeah. Well, Donna, she kept saying.
Mm-hmm.
It infuriated her because, you know, she's the accountant, and she could not stand. She said, you know, if these were our bills at home, we wouldn't pay them like this. I don't know what makes them think that they can get by with it, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
Companies aren't going to tell them they can't have something. There was a few that got bold enough, but they paid them, and that was it.
Who would that word come down from?
We always had to get in touch with Mike to make sure that we could pay out something. Well, there at the end, too, all the checks were printed from corporate office anyway. It's just that Ellen did all the balancing of the White.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it came down to.
You talked about seeing or going out in the plant occasionally. Is that something you would do on a regular basis? Say your job would take you out into the plant where you would see?
Yeah, because I worked with Fletcher, mm-hmm. and I would have to go out there for one reason or other. I got to the stock room quite a bit. And John mm-hmm. Richards, you know, he would always say something about how much difference it was, him and Robert Riley. They were always talking about how much difference there was between White and Hickory. Yeah, because they had worked for Mr. White for years.
Did you meet other people, or did you know people by name, or when you walked through?
I knew a lot of them just by face. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot of them by name.
But were those two sort of different groups in terms of when people socialized together, the plant employees or people in different departments and in the office?
Well, I never socialized a whole lot either way.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, my kids were young, mm-hmm. and I had a whole lot going on anyway. Yeah, I guess it was. A whole lot, but I don't guess that's any different than any other place.
Mm-hmm.
From what I see now, you know, it's basically that same way everywhere. I don't know how it was when Mr. White was there.
Would the people in the office, would they socialize together inside or outside of work?
Yeah, the people in the office, they occasionally, just during special times, they would go out and eat, like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Or we tried to go to lunch on someone's birthday, that kind of thing. But as far as going out after work, I think probably Cindy and Patricia were the only two that did that because they had been working at White and they were about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were very good friends. Not, that's the only reason I think they would have.
So what other sort of things? You would celebrate birthdays in the office?
Mm-hmm. Christmas. That's basically it. Showers, if there mm-hmm. was, but that was very occasional.
Mm-hmm. Did any women have children while you were there?
While we were there,
office?
Patricia. She was the only one.
What was your job like on a day-to-day basis? What would you do, say, in a regular day?
Which one? The purchasing or the...
The purchasing.
I would be on the phone about half the day
mm-hmm.
and try to track down stuff that was supposed to come in if it didn't come in. That's been a while. What else?
You mean like lumber that didn't come in on time?
No, I didn't handle the lumber.
Okay.
Most of what I handled was like little parts. I handled the office supplies, and if Fletcher wasn't there, then I would track down the bigger parts, but Fletcher was just about always there. I did a lot of running for him, you know, like if he needed something from Blue Ridge or something, then I would get the truck and go, or the van and go there and pick something up. Or I did take stuff to some of our carvers
mm-hmm.
occasionally.
Where were they at, the carvers? In
Commercial Carving in, is it Thomasville?
Is it Thomasville?
On the other side of High Point. I can't remember. I told you my memory's bad. I would help Ellen balance the sheets or and help her with the phones at times. Ellen and I worked a lot together once everyone else moved out. We worked a whole lot together.
What do you mean once everybody else moved out?
Well, there was Donna and Karen were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that department was kind of, even though we were in the same office, that department was kind of split. Like I was over here to the corner, but once Donna and Karen left and Ellen and I were the only ones in that office, then we tried to help each other get our work done.
Were those others transferred up to
mm-hmm.
to Hickory?
They sure were.
And how many did that leave then there at Mebane? Office.
Cindy and Janet and Ellen and I.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it. And there was Debbie Culberson. She worked with Janet. And that was it for the office staff.
Was that a big changeover when?
Not really, because the other girls were sales related.
I see.
Cindy was, but then she switched to another job.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed at White instead of moving to High Point, which was better for her with the kids anyway.
Hmm. You described your job a little bit. What sort of skills do you think it took to do your job or to be good at your job?
I guess people oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I had to deal with the vendors quite a bit. And the people out in the plant, I was involved with them a little bit more than what I was when I was accounts payable. That's basically all the skills you really had to have.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Did you like your job?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
What was it about it that you enjoyed?
Like I said, you know, Fletcher was so easygoing. And it was just so much less tension working for him than it was working in the accounting department. Even though I see now that I really learned more from the accounting department, you mm-hmm. know, because Fletcher's, the purchasing department was so easygoing. And that, you know, you basically, you had to be a people person, which mm-hmm. is more... I sound like I'm rambling.
Were there aspects of the job that were frustrating? Or that you didn't like?
I know there's something, but I just can't think of anything right now. Maybe I wanted to learn more, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
I think because Fletcher knew the job so well that, and he was there all the time, that you didn't have the opportunity to learn more about the lumber or the veneer or whatever. Mm-hmm. That he really handled a lot of. You know, that basically that was his. I think that was probably the most frustrating.
So were you salaried, or you were? You
got... I was what they called salaried, but I still got paid overtime, and I got paid weekly instead of monthly, even though I was considered salaried. I think they called it salaried exempt or something.
Salaried exempt?
I've forgotten what the word is for it. That might be the wrong phrase. But it was a special category, I guess.
Was there like a pecking order in the office among the staff who had been there the longest? Were some clearly in?
I don't think so. I think pretty much it was... I don't see a pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
How old was the oldest person who worked in the office, and how young was the youngest?
I think Becky was the oldest, and she retired about the time they made the change. No, she retired after they made the change to corporate office in High Point. Because she rode up there with them for a few months or so, 6 months. And Patricia was the youngest, and she was in her early 20s, I think, when I started there.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about... how you all got along there in the office?
We got along fine. But like I said, you know, it was really not much socializing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was business, you know. I don't know what to say about that.
Would you have rather that it had been a little less businesslike and maybe more socializing?
Well, that was the first place I worked at that the girls didn't go out. But yet, when they went out, I couldn't go. So, you know, that's kind of saying no, but yes. I don't know.
All the places that you had worked at before.
Yeah, there was always a big gang of us that went out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe because this was the first clerical job I had had, maybe I kind of felt out of place. And maybe because I was the first one that was not a chosen white.
Oh, you were the first one.
Uh-huh. Well, I think there was a girl before me.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, as a matter of fact, there was two there. The girl that I took her place, she was not. And then the girl that I worked with when I first come there, Roxanne, she was not. But I think, you know, while I think even Roxanne felt that way, that we were not so much of a group
As the originals,
you know.
So that made.
So if anybody hears this interview, they'll know.
So they made that made you feel self-conscious, huh? That they were sort of. They were just different.
Yeah, or I was different. Maybe that's a better word. Mm-hmm. I was different.
So you didn't? Did you feel like excluded or not part of the gang, or?
Maybe not part.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be my fault, also.
Did they give you any reason to?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of stuff going on in my life about that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot going on with me. So, you know, I see now as it could have been just as much me as them. I felt more at home with the people out in the plant.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I very much did.
Why was that?
I felt more. What's the word for it? I just felt more at home with those people. Mm-hmm. I very much did. Because I came from that background. And maybe that was the thing, is that I really came from that background and the others didn't. Because it looked like basically they came straight to office from business college or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had been with Mr. White so long. And the new supervisors that were being bought in, I think there was a bond there between, you know, because I've remained friends with a few of those. So that might be the difference.
Did you go to business school or did you not?
I had taken 1 year of computer science over at ACC.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the extent of my background on that. Since then, I've gone back and got my business computer applied science degree.
Mm-hmm.
When I left White.
But all of the other office
mm-hmm.
staff?
They pretty much had a background, yeah. So maybe that's the reason I felt inferior
mm-hmm.
to them.
Hmm. Did you all have any rules within the office, or...
By rules.
Well, couldn't smoke in there, or...
No, everybody smoked in there. At the time, I was a smoker, and I was told I could smoke in there, but that was just not my, you know... I just didn't like to smoke at my desk.
Mm-hmm. People ate at their desk, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was very relaxed. As far as stuff like that, yeah, it was relaxed. I think they come down on the receptionist harder as far as her sitting there eating, because I think I remember them getting on to Ellen a couple of times about having food or something at her desk. But other than that, it wasn't that way.
You all were back behind the receptionist in a different part of the office?
Ellen and I sort of sat side by side, but she was directly in front of the door, in front of the window, so...
Oh, I see.
That made her more seeable.
Mm-hmm. In the final months that the plant was running, you talked earlier about those rumors that it was going to close down. Did those sort of pick up or increase? Or?
Mm-hmm. A whole lot. And, you know, I guess the people in the plant saw it more clearly. I can't remember if there was a change that, you know, maybe they switched something. Seems like they did. But I can't remember what it was. But it seems like there was a big change as far as they took something away from us and took it to the Hickory plant. Mm-hmm. And that really caused a lot of stir. And from there, it just, you know. Which, when we went into that meeting that morning, it was a shock to all of us. I guess, you know, you've been speculating all these times, but you don't want to say it's absolutely true until they drop the bomb.
So. What do you remember about the meeting?
I remember Cindy getting up and starting to cry. That she just, she couldn't handle it. She was the one that, and I remember seeing a lot of mouths just drop open. And I remember Robin looking like it was the hardest thing he'd ever had to do. And that's basically it.
Was he the one that made the announcement?
I can't remember if he made the announcement or if, what's his name? The guy from corporate office, Randy.
Austin.
Yeah. I think he was the one that made the announcement.
And so office supervisors and everybody worked in the entire plant were called together?
They called so many of us in at one time. I think the office and the supervisors were called in on this, on the meeting that I was in, and I think they did part of the department and then the other part. I think is how they... That's kind of blurry, too.
So it was a much smaller group?
Yeah, it was like a conference room full. It was basically...
Do you remember anything else about the announcement? What was your response to it?
I was sad because there were so many people there that I knew I'd miss, and I knew there was... basically a whole lot of them that I would never see again.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because you usually only make just a few friends that you keep in contact with and something like that. I was sad because of all those men and women that had been there for years and years, and knowing how it is around in this area for people that after they hit... up in their ages to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's... But Cindy and our... I think Cindy and our little area took it harder than anyone else because she had been there so much longer. She was the white gang once.
Mm-hmm.
Once they did that.
Were you angry or upset or mad at?
No, because I always feel like everything happens for the best.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt, you know, and I was sad, but I'd made it through a lot worse, so. You know, I knew everything was going to be all right, but, you know, you wonder about some of those other people out in the plant. And then you had to go in every morning after that and look at those faces.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them wondering, well, where am I going to go? It's the older employees is what bothered me the most, is the ones that weren't quite old enough for retirement.
Like Robert Riley?
Like Robert, but Robert seemed, you know, he's so outgoing and outspoken and everything. I didn't worry so much about him as some of them on the sanding line. There's one that I don't know his name, but I'd go in and you could just tell he was so sad. And he'd just sit there and he'd talk about you know, how things were going to change. I mean, he had been coming there for, what, 30, 40 years? 30 years coming in there every day, day after day. I don't guess the guy probably even missed a handful of days the whole time he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back after they laid him off and was talking about how he was cleaning the house while his wife worked. But he seemed to be settling in, you know, to a new routine.
Do you remember how you told members of your family or people that you were close to?
Not really. I remember, well, that's been, what, 2 years ago, I think I told Ashley and Blake that we just have to be tighter with our money for a while. And I tried to find a job, and it was, you know, at that time, it was difficult to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Especially making the money that I made. Even though, you know, I didn't make a whole lot, but they still don't want to start you off at that much. And I couldn't afford to take a pay cut at the time. That was my biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. When did you start looking for a job?
As soon as they
mm-hmm,
told us that the plant was closing down, I started getting my resume together and started sending out feelers for mm-hmm. jobs. And Fletcher was real good about it. He would talk to different ones and put you on. He helped Ellen and I a whole lot as far as filling out I can't even think of what I want to say. Giving us references and mm-hmm. helping us find something. He did a really good job. I think he did as much as he could on that. He let us go anytime we needed to go on an interview or